Hello, hello, my loves. I don't feel like singing the intro today to Leonie Dawson refuses to be categorized for a reason you'll soon understand. Today, I want to share with you about how my brother died and what a miracle that is. So last week I talked to an old friend and she'd lost her children's father and was raising her sons and was just fraught with the knowledge that they'd been, irreparably damaged by such a traumatic childhood loss. And I just so felt her pain, knowing it was the pain that my own mother would have felt when my brother died in a traumatic accident. Not only did she need to survive that great gaping hole of grief, but she needed a parent for children through that senseless loss too. And she too must have wondered how that explosion of pain would shape us for the rest of our lives. So I told my friend what I know to be true, that as a child who suffered a devastating loss as a woman who has been shaped by it. Yes, it was a defining event, but not in the way that you might expect. Because for me, losing my brother was one of the great miracles of my life that I am eternally grateful for. Now, I'm not saying that, his love was a great miracle, though that's true too, I'm not saying that it was a relief to be without him. I am saying that his death and my loss and my suffering was and is a miracle. So imagine this, if you will. You believe, as we all do, that life is infinite, that you're immortal, infallible, that bad things only happen to others, and that if we just read enough fairy tales and do all the right things, we will be immune to loss. And then it happens anyway. I was 14 years old when it happened. I still remember the afternoon we drove home in the fading sunlight. I'd just been to a new gifted, talented art program, and I was just waxing lyrical about how my life was in a good direction, how the art program was just meant for me, how even my jeans that day were the perfect fit. And when we arrived home, my two sisters were hovering at the outside stairs. "Mum," they said haltingly, "the police were here. They wanted to talk to you." They wouldn't say why, they just said they'd come back. And a strange kind of quiet descended then. The police arrived soon after. It took my mum to a room by herself, and after that, she called us down the stairs again. "We've just heard some very sad news. Clinton has been in an accident and he's died." I sat on the stairs and my head was swimming. I think to myself, no. This is not how the story goes. Yeah, he was in an accident, but he's okay. He will survive. He's just in hospital. But the quiet reality tells me otherwise. My wild bushman farmer dad is nowhere to be seen, so I volunteer to go to the cattle yards to climb to their peak and survey the paddocks to see where he could be. There's no tractor, no motorbike, no ute hauling the molasses truck. I scream at the top of my lungs, but there's only quiet in response. I call his phone over and over, but it doesn't connect. Eventually it does, and I tell him in this small, stricken voice to come home. "What has happened?" he asks urgently, but I am tight-lipped. "I can't tell you. You just need to come home." When he finally does, it is dark. And when he is told, he sinks to the floor. My brother arrives home with his girlfriend, ashen face. All we do that night and for many nights afterwards is sit in the room and sob together. I go to school the next day. I go only because we're given the choice, and my older sister elects not to have to be there when we tell our beloved grandmother. So I follow her to school. We are shell-shocked children, we're blank-faced and we're broken. There's a chasm between us and everybody else. Those are the children who haven't faced the great abyss yet, and we are the children who have. I remember a teacher asking me as I sat weeping in class, "Are you okay?" "No, my brother just died." "I know, your friend just told me. Should you really be here?" "I don't know." In classes, nothing makes sense, and nothing will make sense for months to come. My grades fall dramatically as my brain reboots and rebuilds from the Great Reset. It takes a year for the pain to feel less razor edge, for my brain to begin to work again. It takes 10 years to recover. A quarter of a century later, I'm at peace, but sometimes the grief wave rises suddenly and leaves me in a shock of tears. And yet still, it is a miracle. Suffering a significant loss at a really young age shaped me in ways that is sometimes hard to explain, but I'm going to try anyway. At 14, I learned that life isn't guaranteed, that death is coming for all of us and all that we love, and we have no idea of when it will happen. A life is simply not an average life expectancy guarantee. A life can sometimes be a blip, a few days, like my beautiful friend's beautiful baby. A life can be sometimes a wide expanse. My beloved grandmother at 97, her sister at 99, our adopted Nan at 102. My brother's was 25. The numbers don't matter. What matters is the miracle of living and loving at all. At 14, I learned that relationships don't end with a person's death. They grow and they change and they deepen over the years, even through the walls of life and death. I can't see him, but I can still love him. I can still talk to him. I can still heal the parts of our relationship that need to be repaired or grown. And somehow, through that vast expanse, I can feel him doing the same. Still loving me, still talking to me, still healing himself and blooming our relationship into a different kind of garden. It is a miracle, all of this. At 14, I learned that wishing you were anything but what you are is a farce, a fucking ridiculous way to spend the precious time you do have on the planet. My brother had cerebral palsy that affected his body and his brain. I'm sure he sometimes wished it was different, and yet, he did everything he could with what he had. He won second place for Paralympic high jump in Australia. He could drive and fix more kinds of machinery and vehicles than I ever could. He joked about wishing he was more disabled so he could compete in more disabled sports. We are each given a body and a personality, and it might be wonky, but it is ours. Like, glory be. Let us enjoy it for the time we have with it. At 14, I learned that sometimes the worst things in the world can be the best. The things that seem the most tragic, the most awful, the most feared can become an unexpected blessing. The illusion of immortality was torn from my eyes. And what I saw in place was tender, precious, precarious beauty. I saw the light shimmering at the edge of leaves after a storm. A stray kitten finding me at the back of the bakery that I worked. I saw unexpected tenderness and the knowing that life was passing me by, one moment at a time. This moment only once. Look carefully, and you'll see there are tiny miracles everywhere all at once. I want you to know that it wasn't just the wonderful things in my life that made my wonderful parts of me. The hard, the fucked, the excruciating too. They made the gold. They made me deepen with wisdom. They softened like a river crashes around a rock until it is polished smooth. The tragedies and the grief are a part of my tapestry, weaving me into something more. My mother needn't have worried. I was okay. I was more than okay. I was better off because of it. My brother died. What a miracle. All my love to you, dear friends. All my love.